All right. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Great to see you guys. Yeah, good to be here. Glad you're here. Excited about this morning. And again, going to be a great day today. A couple of quick announcements, a little bit different day, and I'll tell you what we're going to be doing today. One is, though, if you are available to on Monday night, we're going to be doing kind of a Milad and Therese, Arabic church pastor is in Egypt doing some ministry. And so they've been gone a while. We thought we might surprise them and kind of spruce their yard up a bit when they come home. So they come back to something all taken care of. If you would like to be a part of that, then just contact the church. We'll get you the details and maybe go over and be a blessing to them tomorrow night. Also, I just wanted to mention a couple things that, again, but today's going to be a little bit different day. We're not going to do our normal Matthew study. Now, those of you that came for the Matthew study, had somebody last service, and they came, they brought somebody for the Matthew study. It's like, man, you're not doing the Matthew study. Listen, we're going to get back into Matthew next week, but every so often, as you guys know, as God moves in my heart, we veer off in another direction. And because of what this weekend is, I believe that God did something in my heart to do it a little bit different way this week, and that is to basically give you the history of Calvary Chapel and some landmarks. And why are we doing that? Number one, this weekend is our 24th anniversary of Calvary Chapel. How about that? So, you know, yesterday was the actual day we started, so 24 years. Now, that's, I know 24 is not really a special one. I get that. But the fact that it happened to fall right on this weekend and the fact that we have so many new people. We have on a regular basis, again, I met a bunch of new people today already. More people moving in from other states. We had another whole row of Oregonians come in, another 10 or 12 that were here last service. I'm like, Oregon is clearing out. I don't know what's happening in Oregon, but yeah, you're clapping because Oregon's clearing out. Well, either way, the point is, we continue to grow, we continue to add more to the numbers, and that's why, as you guys know, we're going to be adding a Saturday night service. It's not that every single seat in here is filled. I would say a good 80 to 90% is, but not every single seat. And so it's not so much that, although that would might be good to have a little more breathing room, but it's also really parking and a number of things. So because of that, we're adding a Saturday night. But all things considered, our anniversary, all the new people we have, I thought this would be a good day on the weekend of our anniversary to hit a reset button and to talk about the history of Calvary Knoxville. Now, those of you that have been coming to Knoxville a long time, you know the history of Calvary Knoxville, so bear with us. But we have a lot of people that don't know anything about Tracy and I. They don't know where the church came from, how we got here, or where we're going. And so we're going to be looking at landmarks today, and that is where we've been and where we're going beyond that. A couple of things I want to announce before we even jump in. If you want, you can open your Bibles to Nehemiah, and that way you can be waiting there in Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to see a couple of different passages we'll look at today. But let me announce a couple of things before we jump into the Word this morning. Some of you don't even know that we have a radio station. I keep hearing that from a lot of people. I think a lot of our new people don't know. We have a radio station here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. The only reason I tell you that is I want you to know there's 24-hour teaching, almost. Now, there's worship that's in there as well, so it's not totally 24-hour teaching, but you can go to 101.1, that's WIAM, and get mostly round-the-clock Bible teaching. We have over 20 different pastors on there, and they're teaching the Word of God in different books of the Bible, line by line, verse by verse, going through the Word of God. And that's something God put in our heart years ago, and He's been gracious enough to give that to us. It is a low-power station, which means you can't get it everywhere. You'll find yourself with a red light kind of eking forward, then kind of fretting, goes, what's that guy behind me doing? You know, it's like, scoot up a hair, you know, but anyway. Because you have to kind of do that to get it, maybe hold some, you know, aluminum foil out the window. No, it's not that bad. But either way, God has given us a low power station, and for where you can get it, it comes in great. If you can't get it, you can get it online. You can stream it. We have some friends that are streaming it down in Mexico. They have been for many years. And so I want you to be aware of the radio station so you can also get some feeding during the week. And if you have any friends that are saying, hey, I'd like to just hear Bible teaching through the Bible, line by line, verse by verse, you can direct them to WIM. And also a way to go and to get all the information, if you go to thewaymedia.net, thewaymedia.net, you can get all the information there, your streaming, the teachings, all the things. And if you get our course, The Way app, then all the teachings and things are on there as well. You can keep up. And I say that for a number of reasons. One is also so you can keep up with what's happening prophetically. We do a regular prophecy show every week. Every Friday from 1:30 to 2:30, we do what's called Signs of the Times. And we do an update on there. We look at what's going on in the world. We look at it in light of Scripture. We didn't really cover it this week, but things such as maybe you saw what Mayor de Blasio is doing there in New York by requiring these, vaccine passports, if you will, just to be able to go to do anything in New York. Guys, you need to recognize this is the spirit of Antichrist. He is not the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But this is the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says at some point There'll be a world leader rise out of Europe, and he will require the entire world not to have a vaccine passport. He's going to make the entire world take a mark on their hand or their forehead. And note this, you can't buy or sell without that mark. Mayor de Blasio is doing that on a lower level right now in New York City. So if you don't think the Bible's coming to pass right before your very eyes, you're not awake. And it's time to wake up. We cover these types of issues on Signs of the Times. And this last week, we did a COVID update. I don't like to talk about it more than we need to. We're all tired of hearing it. I know that. But we did look at some statistics with the government. I think some encouraging things to let you guys know this. They are saying now that, you know, if you have had COVID, you've got a very strong immunity to COVID and the variants that are traveling around. So there's a lot of encouraging news coming out of the actual facts. When you look at the science, you're not hearing that much on the media. But we cover some of these things on the show last Friday. And again, if you go to look at the webpage for WIEM, you can listen to the show and catch up on that. And we'll do most of our communication on those type of issues through the radio station and through the show there. But today we're looking at, again, landmarks, the history of Calvary Chapel Knoxville. We're going to start in Nehemiah. I want to read a few verses for you, then we're going to pray, and I'll tell you where we're headed today. Notice what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done over the last 24 years here at Calvary Chapel. And I thank you, Lord, for the landmarks you've given us. I look back at all the things you've done, Lord, that have shown me your hand is involved in this ministry. And God, you get all the glory. And Lord, it's all about you. It's not about us. It's about you. We simply get to be a part of what you're doing. And we thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing. And I pray as we talk about these landmarks and remember these landmarks, not only will we see where we've been, where we are, but Lord, we see where we're going as a church. Your word says, without vision, the people perish. And I pray you cast that vision today in our hearts. And Lord, I pray also that as we look at the landmarks of what you've done in Calvary Chapel over the last 24 years, God, I pray you let us again search our hearts. What are the landmarks you've done for us? God, no doubt there are many here this morning that might be in a discouraging time. Is God working in my life anymore? Is God doing this or doing that? I pray you would remind each one of us of how faithful you've been throughout our life, of all the landmarks that you've given us. And this would be not only an encouragement, God, about what is happening here among us as a body, but again, what's encouraging among us individually as we see the work you've done and God have been faithful to do. You said in your word that he who has begun a work will be faithful to complete it. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We ask now you pour out your spirit, and God, that you do a great work this morning in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as I said, bear with me. For those of you that have been here for a while, I'll try not to bore you with too many details, but a lot of people here, they have no idea who we are, where we came from, and what our story is. And I want us to know that. Listen, we're in a place right now where Calvary Chapel is moving forward into a whole new season. We've got a whole new group of people that are now coming. We're heading a whole new direction. We're seeing all kinds of things moving forward in the world that need great attention as far as the church goes. And so I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm excited about what God is going to do. But I think a part of understanding the future is understanding our past. And so that is why I wanted to spend today sharing a little bit about that and then move into where I, and by the time we're done, where I think God is moving us now, because there are some exciting things on the horizon. I don't know what God's going to do or how he's going to do it, but I'm going to share with you where I believe God is leading. Now, again, with Tracy and I, you know, we met at a very young age. I was on a skateboard. She was on a bicycle. I was 14. She was 12. Sounds like some cheesy song from the 70s. But either way, that's what it was. And we got to know each other. We dated off and on through high school and through college, and went our separate ways after college. I kind of summed that up real quick. And again, I didn't know the Lord at that time. She had known the Lord, but wasn't walking with him like she should. And so in that process, God was bringing us back to where we needed to be, her back where she needed to be, me getting back to the Lord, you know, or getting to the Lord for the first time. And after University of Tennessee, God moved her to Los Alamos, right outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. and really, again, eventually living in Santa Fe. And then after that, a few years after that, I got saved. And when I got saved, I had this great desire for the Word of God. And I'd never heard the Bible taught line by line, verse by verse, like, you know, the Calvary Chapels do. And so when I heard that, I said, I want that. So I called the pastor. I said, if I come out there, will you teach me line by line, verse by verse? He said, of course, come on out. So I went out there. I had no intention of being a pastor. I had no idea that I was called to be a pastor. All I knew is I knew the Lord. I wanted to know more about Him. And I was in love with Him and in love with the Bible. So I went out there, He began to pour into me and give me time and just invest in my life. And over the years, again, God began to draw Tracy and I back together. We ended up getting saved, and I got saved. We ended up getting married, and she was already saved. She was saved again, and it was a great thing. Supernatural, never happened before. Anyway, but so we were there, we're married there in Santa Fe, and God began to do a work. And slowly over time, I didn't even realize I was called, but God began to reveal to me, you're called to be a pastor. I'll never forget that day. My pastor said to me, what do you think you're called to do? I said, I have no idea. At that time, I was just cleaning floors, painting walls, doing toilets, whatever it needed at the church. I just love being at the church, and I love the things of God. And he said, you're called to be a pastor. I was like, whoa, okay, that's kind of different. I don't know that I even have a suit, you know? And then I found out to my glory, you don't need one to be a pastor. But either way, so we were there for a few years, and God began to call us back here. Now, it was through passages like Nehemiah. And God put Nehemiah in my heart. He said, Nehemiah, when God called Nehemiah, he said, he looked back at his hometown and he said, the walls are broken down. Now, don't get me wrong. There were lots of churches and are lots of churches in Knoxville still today that are strong churches serving God and doing a great work in Knoxville. And I thank God for each and every one of them. But it seemed to me there was a lot more preaching than there was teaching. And what God put in my heart is, I've called you back to go teach the word. There's lots of preaching in the South. We need to start shoring up more teaching. Go back and teach line by line, verse by verse. So I came back as Nehemiah did, rode around the walls of Jerusalem, if you will, finding out, kind of getting a feel for the area. Went back home and said, you know, I think God is calling us to Knoxville. And Tracy and I prayed about it. God, through a series of different miracles and ways that he does, showed us we were supposed to move to Knoxville and come and establish our work here. And then God, again, sent us back to Knoxville. And in the process, again, when we came here, giving us the vision of what we're supposed to do, again, look at Nehemiah chapter 3. If you turn one page over in your Bible, it's page 454. There, chapter 3, it says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with the brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. And they consecrated and hung his doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. And the bottom line is, you go through all of chapter 3, and it says that each person did their part of the wall, and even families were building the portion in front of their wall. And God spoke to me and said, you go back and build the portion of the wall I've called you to build. You see, I remember when I came back talking to somebody when I was on my exploratory trip. I think that's when it was. It might have been after we already moved here. But either way, I was at this park, and what are you doing here? Why'd you move back to Knoxville? Because we were talking about it. I said, God called us back to plant a church. He said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, there's churches everywhere. I think at that time we had 700 churches in Knoxville. I don't know how many we have now. As a matter of fact, it was kind of humorous because in the park we were in, I think he could point out a couple, one for sure, maybe another one from where we were. I said, yes, but God's given us our portion of the wall. We have a certain thing we're called to do. Churches are called to different things. We're called to teach the Word of God, to build our portion, and to fill in that gap. And again, not only is it important for churches to do that, you as individuals in your family, you're called to build your portion of the wall. You're called to train your kids up in the way they should go. You're called to minister and be the pastor of your home. And so you need to be building your wall. And when you build your wall and the church builds their wall, a community gets restored. And we need restoration in our communities, don't we? Very desperately, we need restoration in our communities. Well, either way, I knew that's what we were supposed to do, that God had called us to do that. So we moved back to Knoxville, and we began to build our wall. And we moved to a place, Washington Ridge Apartments, over in the east side of Knoxville. I think now it's called Spring Meadows or something like that. The only reason I know that the name changed is I went by there yesterday just to kind of look at the old clubhouse where we started. And we started in a clubhouse, a tiny little clubhouse. We said, hey, we'll move into the apartment. We'll use the clubhouse for the church. We talked to the people there. They said, yes, you can use the clubhouse. You don't have to rent it, use it or whatever. And so we're all excited. We came to our first day, which was August 7th, 1997. And so we'll go there and we show up all excited to start. Tracy's going to do the kids ministry up there. I'm going to be down here or whatever. And so we put as much word out as we can. We show up and we're locked out of the building. And so we're like, okay, great. Our very first start, we're locked out of the building. Well, that's okay. We went around to the swimming pool, and we decided we'll have the Bible study back at the swimming pool. And my sister-in-law and her daughter showed up, my niece, and that was Michaela, who was up here leading worship, and her mom, of course, Michelle. And so they were there, and I thought, well, they just came as a love offering. They're really just kind of, you know, poor Mark. Nobody came to a study. We'll show up and go, you know, don't feel so bad. And so they showed up, and then but then we got to the pool, and there was somebody swimming. Bible study. Our first visitor, okay? She didn't know it, but we took the church to her. And we sat there at the pool and began to share, and she came over, stood in the water, and this, and her name was Malaika. She was a Muslim, and I'd love to say she came to Christ, but either way, we shared with her, and we had our first official meeting there, and that's how the church began. There was no kids ministry except for our kids up there at that time, and that was the beginning of the church. And so it was exciting, and yet, you know, you're like, okay, Lord, hopefully you'll do something here. A year goes by, and after a year goes by, we're only up to about 20 people. Now, after you've been working really hard and doing Bible studies every week for a year, that kind of can be a little bit discouraging. Lord, we've only got 20 people. And so it's one of those moments where you have that landmark moment you started. Now there's a new landmark moment. Lord, is this really you? Did we hear you? Are we supposed to continue on? Or should we now, you know, what's going on? Do we pack this thing up and go home? And so I ran up to the mountain, sat down by a stream up there, began to read the word of God. God led me again to Zechariah chapter 4, where he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And in many different ways through that passage, God encouraged me. I have called you, stay put, continue on. It's interesting in that passage that he led me to, because I was kind of whining, you know, he did, Lord, it's very few people, hardly anybody's coming, and Lord, everybody else, is, look how big they are. But anyway, and God says in that passage, do not despise the days of small things, for I rejoice to see the plumb line in your hand. And that means holding what's true. A plumb line you would hold up to find out what's true when you're building a wall or doing construction. And what he was saying to me was, look, you may not have 20 people coming, but be faithful to teach the word. Let me do the work. You worry about teaching the word, and I'll do the rest. And so I came back from the mountain. I said, all right, we're here to stay. Let's do this thing. And so we decided we need a new place to be. We've been here a year. The lease is coming up. Do we want to renew the lease and be in this tiny clubhouse for a year? We already crammed in there. It was really little. Even though we had a small group of people, we felt like we needed something a little bit larger. So we began to pray, God, give us a place to live and a place to have church. And that way, we can kind of do both. You know, I didn't have a lot of money. I was working at Cracker Barrel at that time. I didn't have a lot of things that I could do. I was very good at drugs and alcohol, but I'd left that. And that's about because of that life that I was living, I really didn't have much else I could do. So I'm now teaching the word and working at Cracker Barrel, and I'm like, Lord, we're making very little money. We're going to have to live in this place and just whatever. And so then God, at that point, all of a sudden the phone rings. And we get this phone call and say, hey, we've got this family in our church, and they're going to go in the mission field now for a couple of years or whatever. I forget how long it was. They need somebody to house sit for them. Would you be interested? I'm like, that sounds exactly like something we'd be interested in. We'd love to house sit, you know, because again, I'm thinking we can't really afford anything. We don't have really much money to get, you know, we're barely getting by in the apartment we were in. And so, and you know, babies were still coming. So we're like, all right, we're going to need more, you know, money and able to be able to live. So we went to check it out. And so we go to the address, and it's right in the middle of Sequoia Hills, a 10,000 square foot home with a pool and a tennis court. It's all we could afford. Isn't God great? Nobody could set that up but God. Nobody, right? And so I find out later, Tracy's praying, Lord, just for once, I'd like to live in a mansion. Well, God said, all right, I'll give you a year and a half, live in one. So we used the first level floor for the church. That's where we met. We had a big room down in the end that held 50 chairs. And we put all 50 chairs in there and put them there. The second floor was where we lived. And where my office was, and the third floor was where the kids' ministry was. So they were up there, and we had like a middle area the kids could meet in for worship and then go to their little room, kind of like the setup we have here, if you know, Will. And so people that were there, some of you are still here that were there, you know what I'm talking about. By the way, if you have church in your home, don't put your printing machine anywhere near the shower at church time, because if somebody's going to come make a copy and you forget to leave the door open, they'll know you better than they want to or that you want them to. Because somebody came by and somebody was in the shower, and anyway, but either way, you know, just great memories. You know, these are things you want to just, Lord, thank you, you know. But either way, so there we are, and we were there for about a year and a half. And the church went in there from about 20 people to almost 100. We got up to 90-some people there in that house and said, okay, Lord, we're at the next landmark phase. We need to move again. This is a new landmark. We need to take a step of faith to the next place. God opened up a door. Now, this is what's really exciting. Right before we left, literally, I think it was the last Bible study we did in Genesis. We were finishing Genesis, and I don't remember how long after that we moved, but we were realizing we have to move to a new building. And the owner of the building came back to visit, who'd come from the mission field, to come back and said, can I share with your Bible study? And of course, this is your home, and you know, this is your, share with the Bible study. She said, I've got to tell you something. She said, back in 1970, when the committee for Billy Graham came here to plan for the crusade, this is the house they used. All their meetings were here, and they planned for the crusade for Billy Graham in 1970 in this house. And they prayed that God would raise up a church in this house. And you guys are the answer to that prayer. I'd never heard that. None of us are. I'm just sitting there going, oh, wow. You talk about a confirmation that maybe we should have stayed, right? And so it was a very exciting moment, but now we knew it was time to move on to the next moment. And so we began looking around, and that's where we found, of course, the strip mall area, which is down that way. And we moved into there. We were there for 13 years. Now, we moved into there. And of course, it comes with all the stigmas, right? The stigma of a strip mall church. I remember one time we were in there, and of course, people always go, strip mall churches, where are the snakes? Where are the snakes? There was kind of a joke going around, but where are the snakes? Well, the old pulpit I had a front to it, right? You know, in a little pocket right here. And somebody put a big, like, got a cute-looking stuffed snake right here when I came up that was right there in the pulpit. And I walked up, and I saw the snake. You know, we'd already started the teaching. I just kind of laughed. And I picked it up, and I said, okay, it's true. You guys know that we have snakes here at Calvary Chapel, you know, hell, whatever, whatever. I didn't realize until the radio show about 2 years later that that was being recorded. And I'm listening to the radio and I'm going, hey, here's the snake at Calvary Chapel that we use. I'm like, where's the editor? What are you thinking, right? And of course, nobody came for about a year after that. No, I'm just kidding. But during that time, we were in there for a few years. We started planning in advance. Look, we're not going to be here forever. We need a place to move long-term for land. So I would drive by this property all the time, drive by because our house was down that way. And the sign was up, you know, 44 acres. Well, I said, we don't need 44 acres, by the way. It was really only 43. I don't know if they knew that. There was sales tech. Anyway, but either way, now it's down to 42 because, as you guys know, they bought a portion of it to do this work they're doing over here. But I kept thinking, we don't need that kind of land. All we need, Lord, is just something, whatever. And I did that, just kind of pushing it off for a long time. And finally, it wouldn't get off my mind. There wasn't anything else. I'm having to drive by it every day. I said, I'm just going to go look at it. So I got a buddy of mine who's a land developer. I said, let's go look at it, see what you think. Totally raw land. This was totally forest, weeds, undeveloped. There used to be a rock wall right down the parking lot that they had to come and blast out. And that's where all those rocks came from. They had to blast it out, and all the rocks, they scooted over there or whatever. So there's been a whole process of just getting the land usable and then getting to a place to where we could use it. And so I found out about it. They had a place down here, I think, on the place that's Cornerstone now. They had it. They built some other buildings. It was like for sale at that time. They went like $2 million for it, something like 16 acres. And we couldn't do that. A few hundred people, you know, 200 or 300 people, we can't do that. Then I came here, and so what does he want? I met with the guy, and I said, okay, here's the land. I don't know that we can do this. I don't know that we can what the plan is, but how much do you want for the property? He said, if I remember correctly, it was $875,000. I'm thinking, okay, great. All right, so I didn't tell him we couldn't get $875,000. Then I said, okay, let me see what I can do. But I didn't think we could get $875,000 with, you know, 200 or 300 people. I go to the banks with an S and find out, no, the most we can find from any of those banks I went to, they'll give us $500,000. So I think, all right, $500,000. Well, who knows, Lord, if this is you, I'll make an offer. And if I make an offer to him and he says no, here's the thing. If you make an offer and somebody says no, guess what? You're in the same place you were before the offer. Not so bad, right? So there's nothing to lose. So I met with him again. I said, look, here's all the bank will do. The bank will only give us $500,000. I said, however, how about I give you the $875,000? And here's my plan. I said, I'll give you, we'll agree to $875,000 sales price because that's what you want for the land. I'll give you $500,000 in cash, and you give the church $375,000 that you can write off over the next 5 years. He said, let me get back to you. He talked to his other investors. He came back, and he said, all right, we'll take the deal. So they donated $375,000 they could write off in taxes. They were happy. We gave them $500,000 in cash. We were happy, and that's how we got the property. So now you know the history of how we got on the property, all right? So God is good. God is good. So then now we have the process of, all right, now we've got to develop it. We still owe a lot of money. We started paying money on it. But we still had a lot that we had to owe. And what I would do in the meantime is these rocks became my buddies, because what I would do for the next 6 years, I came up here and sat on those rocks and prayed. And I would just get on the rocks and say, I'd walk back and forth and nobody could hear me or see me, I hope. And because I was walking back and forth doing this, or what is that guy doing? But I mean, you're up in the middle of nowhere. I'm sure nobody saw me. But either way, I would walk and I would pray on the rocks. I would sit and I would pray and I would, Lord, develop the property. Show us what to do. We need your direction, God. What do we do? And that went on for like 6 years. And then all of a sudden, one of my board members comes to me after we're deep into this and we've paid a good chunk of it down. And he says to me, you know what? I think you made a terrible mistake. I don't think you were supposed to buy the property. He said, I really believe that God is telling me this was a huge mistake. You've led the body the wrong way. And there's going to be a big loss for the church. There's going to be all these things that are going to happen. And so you need to sell it immediately and just try to save what you can out of it and whatever and go a different direction. Well, I was stunned. I had great respect for this individual and loved him and this kind of thing. So this was, again, a landmark moment. And so I was like, all right, Lord. So I remember running up here to the land. And I was like, all right, land. So, Lord, what do I do here, land? But I remember running up to the land, and where'd I go? My buddies, the rocks, right? So I run to the rocks, and I just kind of sit down. I'm like, Lord, what have we done here? I felt you were leading, God. It seemed like a miracle even to give us the land. All these things, God, I need you to confirm this. I need you to let me know that this is truly you, that you sent us the right direction, because I don't want to be fluctuating back and forth. I need to have clear direction. It's one thing when you decide to do something or feel that God's leading you to do something. Say on an individual level, God leads you to do something. When God tells you to lead as a pastor and you've got people that are also following that, you're more concerned about it, and so you should be, right? And so I'm like, Lord, I hope we spent your money right. We did the right thing, all these kind of things. And so I'm praying on the rocks and I'm saying, Lord, where do I go? What do I do? And God said, I felt in my heart, God, lead me to Joshua. So turn to Joshua chapter 3. That's the next place. And the last scripture we're going to be covering here today is Joshua chapter 3. And so I began to read through the book of Joshua. And I read the first couple of chapters of Joshua. And again, just seeing how God was speaking to Joshua and they're coming into the land and all these things. I thought this was a good, appropriate place to go simply because of all that God was doing for Israel. And I want to read the first few verses. I'll jump around a couple things in chapter 3 and then we'll look at chapter 4. But I came to chapter 3 and it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from that place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it. Note that. A space between where God's moving and where you are, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. God was saying to me, look, let me lead. Don't decide what you want to do and go do it. Well, that makes you nervous at that point. What do you mean? Did I do something you didn't do? I mean, you hear that kind of thing. It's like, let me lead. It's like, what am I leading? Listen, here's the difference in presumption and faith. If you're ever wondering, Lord, am I being presumptuous about what I'm doing? Or is this a step of faith? Listen, if it's something that you want, but it's not a need, it may very well be presumption. If the goal was, here's what we want. Here's what I want Calvary Chapel to be. Here's what I want. Then that's probably presumption. But if it's a need, and there needs to be, and we were at a place we needed a building. And because there was a need, I said, God, there's a need here. Did we go the wrong direction? I'm trusting that you're leading, but when there's a need, God will lead. And he tells Joshua, I'm going to put a distance. Let me go in front of you. I'll show you the way that I'm going to go. I'll work the details out. Then over in verse 14, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water. God said, get your feet wet. You've got to dip your feet in the water first. Don't just sit back and wait in faith. I've told you that there's a need. You're supposed to move forward. Get your feet wet and move forward. So this was an encouraging thing. Okay, God, you're encouraging me. Maybe we're supposed to do this. For the Jordan overflows the banks during the whole time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah and the Salt Sea failed, and they were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. God not only dried up the Jordan, he dried up the ground so they wouldn't get their feet muddy. Didn't even want them to ruin their sandals, you know what I mean? Same thing he did in the Red Sea. He said, I'm leading you, you let me lead, and then you follow. Same thing here, I'm leading you, again, Joshua, and you follow me in that, and God was saying to me, you let me lead. This is the direction. Well, Lord, I hope you're leading. Let's go on in chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men who had appointed with him the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign, note that, among you when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? You shall answer them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be as a memorial for the children of Israel. So set these up as a sign and as a memorial. They'll let you know that my hand's in this. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded. And they took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. He did that as well, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they're there to this day. So the priests who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle, to the plains of Jericho. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, or spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks. So everything went back to normal. God got them across. All the waters came back in and returned to normal. Now look at this last part. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal, that's where they put the stones, on the east border of Jericho. And the 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask the fathers in time to come, what are these stones? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you'd crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us as we crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty, and you may fear the Lord your God forever. And I'm sitting there on those rocks, and I read this, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear voices in your heart. I don't want to say God said, you have to be so careful with that. I didn't hear some audible voice. But it's almost like, notice they came over from the east to the west when they crossed over the water. And that's where they were God was going to give them the place to build. I thought, wow, we have a stream and we kind of have to cross over from the east to the west to get up here. Well, it's not really the Jordan, but it's, you know, it's, this is kind of neat. And then he says, notice the stones. And I heard clear as day in my heart, count the stones. And I froze. Just froze. I wouldn't count the stones. I'm processing. What does that mean? That wasn't even in my heart or in my mind. It's just out of nowhere. I know that was God. Count the stones. I remember sitting there looking at the stones and thinking, oh my goodness. They brought over 12 stones and set them down to show that God gave them that land. Okay. So what you're telling me is, if this is 11 stones or 13 stones, I messed up. And we have to sell. And maybe I didn't mess up. You know, maybe I'll put a good, maybe just God wanted us to buy it so we could sell it, make money, and then buy something else, right? You know how nervous that makes you at that moment? This was a landmark moment in my life for this fellowship and whether I was hearing God and the leading of the Lord. This was huge for me as a young pastor. And I remember standing up and looking at the rocks and going, I've been coming up here 6 years and praying. Never counted these rocks. I'm scared to death to count them now. I stood there for a long time. I don't know how much time I wasted. I was afraid to count. I said, this is it. This is the moment. This is like, it's either over or we're moving forward. And I started, you know, walking across. I got the first few and I turned around and went back. And I just prayed a little bit longer. Then I got up and did it. Came back again. I did that 3 times. And finally I said, okay, I've got to find out. This is it. We're either doing it or we're not. You know, don't close your eyes. You'll fall and break an arm. And then that really wouldn't be good. But it's like, here we go. And by the time I got to the 12th stone, it was such an emotional moment for me. And I realized, this is our Gilgal. And no one will ever again cause me to doubt that God has given it to us and God has led us down this path. He's been faithful up to this point. He'll be faithful now. Now you know what's going on with the stones, those of you that are new, because I know a lot of people didn't know that. That's why they're there, and that's why we're never going to move them. So while we had our yeah, they're fun to play on, right? I heard that. But then that was our, again, a landmark moment of where we were. Well, as you guys have noticed, again, let me say this. I don't leave that part out. I was like, all right, Lord, it's you. That means you're going to move now. We still owed over $300,000. A year later, it was all paid off. And so we began to be able to move forward and say, oh, we're going to start developing the property, doing things, going to, you know, blast out down there, put in a bridge, slowly developing it. And eventually over time, we got moved into the property. And it's interesting. This didn't hit me. We opened up on May 5th, 2013 was our first service in here. And it didn't occur to me until that day, May 5th. I was up here and we're starting to have the service. And it was sometime during that point, I remember back in the other building, when we first got in the other building, we were having an afterglow. And somebody stood up and said, you know what? I feel that God has really put this in my heart. God is going to do something really big and important. It's going to be a major event in this church's history in May. And God's saying this, on this rock, I will build my church. Well, I found out after we started building, every bit of this under us is rock. They couldn't even go down anymore. We had to pile dirt up just to be able to plant stuff around. It's solid rock underneath us. And our first service was May 5th, 2013. And so God has been fulfilling prophecy after prophecy, word after word in this whole process. And because God has been so faithful to do that up to this point, here's what I know. God's going to be faithful to carry us on from there. Now, I'm not presenting this like, you know, I always hear from God and I could never mess up. There's none of that. I'm hanging on with the best I can. I white knuckles to the Lord's robe and need all the prayer you've got. And I've got elders praying with me and the board praying. And we're all praying, God, we want to see you. We want you to lead. We want you to be the one to do this. But guys, here's what I believe God is leading. And that is, I believe God is leading us to a new landmark moment here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. And what do I mean by that? As you guys know, we continue to grow. And so that's why we've added a Saturday night. We talked about that starting here in September. But we can't just keep adding services on the weekend. We now have four Sunday morning services, if you will, when we start that. And then Sunday night, which I love it. I love having the more the better. But at some point, it gets to a point where you can't keep adding services. You need to have a new sanctuary. And what I believe God is leading us into is that it's time to grow the ministry and time to expand. Now, here's how this is going to work. We're not going to do a building campaign or collect money. We don't do that. We believe where God guides, God provides. And what we've seen over the 24 years is every time we've needed money, guess who brought it in? God. So that's not an issue. So don't worry. We're not going to change. You're going to start hearing me talking about who's giving, who's not giving, what's your pledge. No, you're never going to hear that. You're just going to come to church and you're going to hear starting next week, Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to keep teaching the word of God. And as God works, then God will bring in what needs to be brought in to do what we're going to do. And if it's God, it'll happen. If it's not God, I don't want it. I don't want to try to make something Mark wants to happen. What could be more miserable? Getting older and tireder and making stuff happen that you don't have time for anyway. No, no, no. Bad Mark. You know. So say, Lord, here I am. Here we are. What do you want to do? And I share this so you can be praying. Now, what are we doing right now? All right, right now, here's what's happening. On Thursday, be praying that we get approval for our new parking area back behind Gilgal. That's the rocks. And also for the new pavilion area down there in the lower area. We're having to build a storage area. We have so much storage for like our machinery, our Kubota, our mowers, all that. We don't have room for them. We're actually renting a little pod thing just to put our Kubota in over on the side for now until we build. So we're building an underground shed. And what we found out is in order to be able to do the underground shed, we have to go ahead and do part of the stuff on the top. We're going to build on top of a pavilion. There'd be a couple of bathrooms, a kitchen, a dressing area for the brides and areas if they're getting married or if there's any other event down there. There'll be a fireplace, a place for getting married. We're going to have a baptismal area down there. They have a little waterfall with water going into it. That'll be covered in rocks. So you can actually get baptized in a hot tub. How about that? And, you know, I think John the Baptist had a hot tub down there. No, I'm just kidding. It was hot down there. He had hot water. He can't complain. But either way, so we found out we're going to have to build part of the top in order to be able to do the bottom. We didn't plan on doing the top till later because they said, well, Lord, we don't have the money to do the top. And so we'll just do the bottom. Well, now they're saying we've got to build part of the top for the bottom. I don't know why. I don't understand the construction behind that, but I don't want to get too excited yet, but it appears that God brought in enough now to even go ahead and do the top and everything at one time. So we'll be able to build the pavilion and everything down there in one fell swoop starting here in the fall. So there should be parking and the new area down there. It'll be for church events. It can be used for weddings. It can be used for outdoor services, whatever we want to use it for, which we may use some in the summertime. And we'll, again, see as time goes on all the different uses. But a tremendous asset to the body. Now, with that said, that was all planned before I feel God brought in my heart that we're to a new landmark place, and that is we do have a long-term plan for a sanctuary. Now, again, this is in God's hands, God's timing, however God does it. But I want you guys to know what we're planning and what the idea is. We don't have the plans drawn yet, but the idea, the visual idea is in that place. What would happen is this building will become the kids' ministry building. So the kids are coming here for their worship time on Sunday morning, and then they'll break off to their classrooms, and we're going to need more classrooms anyway, so that works out great. That was the design from the beginning. If God never grew us, this is our church. Praise the Lord. If God did grow us, this becomes the kids' ministry. Praise the Lord. Now we move over there. Going out those doors, we're building, we will, by God's grace, if that's what God is doing, I want to qualify that, if the Lord wills, we'll build a large meeting area in the middle. When I say meeting area, it'll just be a big open gathering area. Why? Because when church is over, we'll be all coming out of the sanctuary over there. They'll be coming out of the kids' ministry. We're going to need a large area to gather. And on the other side of that will be the sanctuary. It's going to be it'd be a larger sanctuary, obviously, than this. Now, you might be saying, what about parking? Well, we've already looked at it, preliminary drawings. Actually, if we had the parking down there and parking around the rocks down behind there, we'll actually have more parking than we do now by the time we build a permanent sanctuary, if God allows us to do that. So we'll be fine, I think, on parking, dividing up the services, keeping it at three. We'll see what God does. It depends on what happens to the parking and all those details. But it's going to be, again, a great area. We can put the cafe there in the middle of it, a little bookstore, fireplace, some little gas lamps, make it very cozy. Gather there during the week. Hopefully, there'll be a little place. You know, I notice we have a lake view now because they did all this work over here. So what I'd like to do is maybe do some kind of little upper deck area where you can sit out there on the deck and maybe have a coffee and look at the lake and read your Bible or do whatever. Again, we'll see what God does. It's all going to be practical and for the ministry. And so if that happens, that's in God's hands. Now, there's no timing. We're not starting next week. I really see this morning as getting my feet in the water by announcing this to you. Because we don't have the funds. We don't have any of this to do this. But we never have. We never have. We have the money. We're going to do it. We've never had it. We've always been, Lord, we don't have anything, but it seems like you want to do this. And he always does it. And to me, that's a great way to know that it's God. Like I said, if we manipulate it, is it really God? But if God just does it, who gets the glory? God. So what am I asking? Pray. Pray we get our approval for the parking and for the pavilion. Pray that if God wants us to expand further out that way, that God will bring in the funding to move further out that way. And pray that if God doesn't want us to, we'll be very creative in keeping us going here how we can. Now, I think we can make it a couple more years. You know, even if we continue to grow some, we had a Saturday night. I think that's going to thin things out some. And we're going to, you know, so we should be okay. But even if we started a building project today, which, by the way, the board is not approved and nothing's approved and Mark's just talking, so everybody relax. Mostly me. But if we started even today, you're looking at a couple of years. So this is the kind of thing where we have to be looking forward. We can't wait for 2 years and go, oh, you know, maybe we should build a sanctuary. We'll be overrun if this keeps happening. So now's the time we step into the edge of the Jordan and say, okay, Lord, we're just standing here and just getting our feet a little bit wet. If you want to dry up the water and hold back the water and open up the door for us to go into a new promised land, then we'll do that. If not, we won't. But I'm going to announce it to the body on our anniversary, on this weekend, and everybody pray. And then we'll leave it at that. Let's see what God does. But it's kind of exciting to watch God work, is it not? Very exciting. I think we have exciting days ahead of us here at Calvary Knoxville. And I think when we see God work, we're going to be even more excited. He's going to get more glory. And so we're going to just enjoy him getting glory and watching him work. And I want to finish today with praying again that God will just give us wisdom and very clear direction as to what we're to do and when and how, et cetera. In the meantime, I want to pray also as we do this, that God would challenge you. And I know we didn't talk that much about the personal landmarks, but again, that you might look at your personal landmarks in your life. Because again, there could be some of you that need to be encouraged this morning. What has God done? Where is God in my life? What's happening in my life? And for God to remind us, I've been faithful up to this point. I will be faithful from this point forward. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've done here in Calvary Knoxville. I thank you, Lord, for just the things we've seen over the years, God, the amazing things that you've done for your glory. And God, you've done it in such a way that you get the glory. I love that. No one can claim glory. No one can say they did this or they did that. It was all you from day one. And you're still doing a work, and we thank you for that. You love your church. And Lord, it's not about Calvary Chapel. It's about you and your church body and all of your church body here in Knoxville and around the world. and the different portions of the wall that all of us are joining together to build. And I thank you for the portion of the wall you've given us in teaching your word line by line, verse by verse. And I thank you for your faithfulness to us over the years, God, as we simply have stuck to that model. And I pray now, God, that as we head into what I believe may very well be a new landmark moment for the church, we don't know your timing, we don't know what you're doing, but a new landmark moment, Lord, that you would just go before us, that we'd watch your presence go before us, even as the priests carry the ark. Because Lord, even as you told them, this is a way you've never been before. Let me lead. This is a way, God, that we've never been before. Maybe in small ways, but not in this way. And so Lord, you're the Lord. It's your church. You lead. We will follow. And Lord, I pray for anyone in here today that may be struggling with where they are in their life with you, where they are in their life, just trusting that you're going to complete the work you've begun. God, you promised the work that I begin, I will complete. And that's true for the church, and that's true for the individual. And if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that is really wondering, where are you, God? Why do I not see you working? Why are you not moving in the way that I think you should move? Lord, help them right now to remember the landmarks, to remember the day they gave their life to you, to remember the faithfulness that you did in bringing a wife or a husband, children, Lord, an apartment, a home, wherever we are in that process, in everything, Lord, you've been faithful. So remind us all this morning of your faithfulness. We rejoice in you today and in your faithfulness and the landmarks that you give us. And we're excited about what you're going to do in the future. We see great things ahead, God, individually and as a church, culminating in your return and your rule and reign on this earth. Lord, what an exciting future we have as believers. Thank you for letting us be a part of your family, and thank you for letting us be a part of it. We give you all the glory, which is where it belongs. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next week, Matthew 8. So if you invited your friend and you're going, I can't believe it, he didn't do Matthew, then invite him back next week. You get 2 weeks out of it. And be a good friend and come back. If you need prayer, we're up here to pray with you guys. Just know that. Let's stand and go out worshiping the Lord. God bless you guys.